153 in the Spire Book. Upon our journey here below, we meet with pain and loss. Sometimes there is a crown of thorns, sometimes a heavy cross. The dreary road to Calvary, the bitter golden sting. But what's inside those gates of pearl will be worth everything. When we're inside the gates of pearl, we'll learn a lot of things. We'll have a heart that's made of gold, perhaps a thousand strings. We'll sing and shout and dance about. The Lamb will dry our tears, and we'll have a grand homecoming week, the first 10,000 years. The shadows now begin to fall, the time is drawing nigh, when Christ our Lord shall come again like lightning from the sky. And while we wait and suffer here, praise God, we'll shout and sing. For one glimpse through those gates of pearl will be worth everything. When we're inside the gates of pearl, we'll learn a lot of things. We'll have a harp that's made of gold, perhaps a thousand strings. We'll sing and shout and dance about. The Lamb will dry our tears, and we'll have a grand homecoming week, the first 10,000 years. The precious blood of God's own Son has saved and sanctified a wondrous people for His name, and they are called the bride. Though here neglected and despised, one day the Lord will bring His chosen ones within those gates, and that's worth everything. When we're inside the gates of pearl, we'll learn a lot of things. We'll have a heart that's made of gold, perhaps a thousand strings. We'll sing and shout and dance about. The Lamb will dry our tears. We'll have a grand homecoming week, the first 10,000 years. When we're inside the gates of pearl, we'll learn a lot of things. We'll have a heart that's made of gold, perhaps a thousand strings. We'll sing and shout and dance about. The Lamb will dry our tears. We'll have a grand homecoming week, the first 10,000 years. Amen. And it's going to be wonderful. Let's turn over to 164. 164. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends that I'm a coming to, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me. Before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends that I'm a coming to, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Swing low.
To carry me home. Great thing, isn't it? To know it's just another heartbeat, another step, another whatever. We'll be there. Man, good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have Mary Beth with us. Say to her, welcome. She's been here before, so she's not a visitor. She's been with us before, and we pray that the Lord would bless her and take care of her, everything. You know, I'm glad to have Brother Tim Calhoun. He's somewhere, I guess it's back in the back or something. We're glad to have him with us. We just pray that the Lord would bless him, take care of him. He's going to be traveling on, I think, after the service, home, and also pray that the Lord would bless. Brother Gary said for me to especially say thanks to everybody, Brother Gary Atkins, for your prayers, your concern, your calls, your cards and the things that sent to him. And he said, I don't want to be to the basis that I can't come to church, but said, I don't want no bugs and things right now, you know. He's on the mend. He's coming upward. And it's like I told him one day there, I said, Brother Gary, this is going to be one day at a time. Well, one of these days, you know, we'll see. One day at a time means you just keep moving on. You know, you keep moving on, and it'll gradually climb higher and higher, and he's doing a whole lot better. You could understand his wording yesterday. He could talk good and things, so just be pray that. Brother Howell is real sick. Remember him. Just the Lord be with him. And Sister Johnny, she got to go home Friday, I guess. And she's doing better. They have found two aneurysms. And said one of them was small and one of them was fairly large. But remember that, because they were thinking about doing a whole bunch of things, and the word got out they were going to do this and that. But they're not doing it. They're going to let her, as far as I know, go herself to a, you know, a head doctor to be checked out more and more and get everything in order. All right, Brother Daugherty, he's not got the flu. We all thought he had that, but he got upper respiratory problems. I talked to him this morning, so just remember him in your prayers. You know, and this and there's many, many other sicknesses among us. But yet we know who the healer is.
Amen.
We know who's already taken care of it. We may have to wait sometimes. You know, that's our part, our thoughts. We think, well, I prayed. Why not? Why am I not better? I was listening, I think it was last night. It might be in the stature of a perfect man, not for life. Brother Brown said that's where he wants it. You need patience. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've asked God, and he don't come on the scene immediately. you need patience. Amen. To wait upon him to bring it to pass. Right. And he'll do that. All right? Man, it's all right. So let's sit. And remember Brother Luis. He is down in Costa Rica, but he's been having problems with his throat. He went there as an interpreter, and I guess they're having to get somebody else or helping him one, but he's sick. So remember him and pray that the Lord would be with him. He's got, I guess, another week or so, and then he'll be heading back home. So remember that. All right, remember all of the people around the world in the message of the hour that we pray that the Lord would bless, and we don't have to ask him to, because he promised it.
Amen.
So we believe it. All right? Let's just sing as Wade. I think that's all the announcements. Oh, no. Fellowship meeting this coming Saturday at Brother Longora's in Alabama. Now, if you want to go, don't let me know Saturday at 10:30. Okay? You will drive. Right? That's as good as I can say it. We try to help and haul you and do everything else, but we need to know ahead of time where we can make schedules and do things, all right? But we'll be leaving Wade's house probably about 10:30. Make sure you're there by 10:30 to where that we can get over to Alabama for the fellowship meeting, all right? Any other announcements? I generally missed something, but we're glad to have Brother Tim with us. Appreciate him. He was good this morning. He came in, and I couldn't get the sound system. I knew the mechanisms and checking everything I knew, but I said, well, we need somebody, and he walked in, and all he had to do was walk up and push two buttons. Well, I remember my brother-in-law one time, he called an electrician over to his house, and he asked him to come and help him. An electrician came, and all he done was took the thing out, turned it over, put it back in, and it started working. And my brother-in-law said, well, how much do I owe you? And back then, it was big money, you know. He said, like $20. He looked at him, you know, he said, it's not what you do, it's what you know. That's pretty good. So, Brother Tim, I said, it's got something to do with them two boxes. He just pushed buttons, you know. But we're glad to have him. All right, let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Wade comes to minister unto us. They're going to be trying to do some PowerPoints today and things to try to help you and help us all to understand. I hope you're listening. We've already listened to Statue of Perfect Man twice this week. I hope you'll listen to it. Blasphemous Names, My God. Hope you'll listen to them because it will help you to understand. And if you'll listen for this coming Wednesday on the message called Questions and Answers on Genesis. I think it's 53. But Questions and Answers on Genesis, it'll help you to follow what we're trying to say on the point we're getting across. Okay? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do you? I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see, and how do you want to see it? High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Yes, you're holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
You know, when I think of that song, you think of all the angels singing, holy, holy, holy. Well, you know, when the bride sings it, they have to shut up.
Yeah. Amen. Exactly right.
When we sing it, they have to be quiet. Because they don't know him as that holy that we know him.
Right.
They know him as a holy God that created them for worship. But he created us to be sons and daughters of a living God, to come straight from the source. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you with us today. We have Brother Tim Calhoun up here with us. And good to see Mary Beth again, as usual. I told her when she came in, I said, you know your way around. I said, I ain't got to lead you nowhere. You've been here before. So don't have to lead the people that's been here. They know what's going on. So Lord bless each and every one of you. By way of announcements, Brother Dale's already said, but remember the fellowship meeting at we'll leave my house about 10:30. And some of you want to go, you can stay over at the house if you need to, some of you, and all that. Also remember, I know Brother Dale said Luis was sick, but Sister Christine said he's really sick. Really sick. Can't sleep at night. A lot of congestion. I don't know if he's running a fever or not, but he's sick. So he's had to stop interpreting a couple of times and let somebody finish, or for him to just take a little rest. So it's one thing to be sick. It's another thing to be sick in another country.
Right.
He's in Nicaragua, and I that's a long way from home. You can't drive from there to here, I don't think. So just keep him in your prayers, because, like I said, he's over there doing a job.
Right.
He's over there doing a job for the Lord, and we should all bind together and pray for that man.
Amen.
That the Lord will touch him now, not later. Now. He needs to be touched now.
Right.
So just keep him in your prayers, and I pray that he will get the message that we are binding together to pray with him.
Right.
Also remember, let's see what else I got here. Trying to get the list finished. I think what we'll do today, it just impressed on my heart this morning, that as we're speaking today, we have our prayer cloths up here, and we have some prayer napkins that we're going to preach over or pray over. But for all this sickness that's going on, I think we ought to all take an anointing cloth home with us, put it over your door. You say, oh, that's going. I really don't care what you think.
Right.
Anointing oil. The Bible says, anoint with oil. Pray for the sick.
Right.
It doesn't take that out. Never has and never will until we get all perfected.
Right.
It's still going to be that we need a prayer cloth. Sure, we got prayer cloths in our pocket for ourselves, but let's take one home with us today.
Right.
Take that thing and tape it up over the doorpost of your home.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you get a bug out there when you walk under that thing. May God's anointing oil just wipe that thing right off of you. All right, so I think we need to do that. Kind of break it up anyway. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. So we still believe in that. Amen. We believe in praying for the sick. Amen. Also remember me going to the Philippines February 25th. Just remember that. Keep me in your prayer. And I want to thank Brother Joe, Brother Anderson, Bob, Richard, all the ones, and Brother Benny, all the young men that run the sound system and do all this that we're going to see today. You know, they spend time. You know, sometimes it takes a long time for them to do things, and I'm not that up on computers to be able to do what they did today, but Brother Anderson did it pretty quick, and Brother Joe and them put all it together, and Brother Benny, just those behind the scenes you never see.
Right.
I just want to give them a hand clap of praise that sometimes, like, sometimes when we're, you know, doing things, not of the world, but when we're out working or doing something, just remember them, because they may be sitting at home on a computer trying to fix something for a dummy like me so I can present it to y'all. You know, so just keep them in your prayers and say a special prayer for them one day. So let's turn to 2 Peter 1, verse 1. We're on the statue of a perfect man. I hope all of you that didn't hear last Sunday, I hope you heard it or watched it, of the introduction of the statue of a perfect man, because that's all we stayed on. Today, we're going to start on faith, the foundation, right? And that's the foundation, and we're going to stay on the foundation for a little while, because you really got to get that foundation
right.
Level, square, and straight.
Exactly.
And it must be solid. So we're going to spend today, all day on it, today and this afternoon, on the foundation. So let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, that you will not be a bystander in this church, Lord, but be an active participant. Be the one that does the speaking, does the hearing, does the all the presentation, all the thoughts and ideas of our mind be centered on you, Father. May you be the one that has the preeminence, Lord. Just take care of each one. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here today, Lord. We pray that you would anoint them now, Lord. We pray for Brother Luis over there doing your work, Lord. We pray that you'd touch him right now, Father, and just raise that body up for your honor and glory, Father, and take care of that old bug that's in his body that's bothering him, Lord, and he can continue his work, Father. We pray that you'd bless the ones that are not here today also. Same thing, Lord. Go to them and raise them up, Lord. As they hear the word, may it heal them, Father. Just be with each one. Forgive us of our sins, many mistakes that we make, Lord, against you. And bless the missionaries on the foreign fields, Lord. Give them fruit for their labor, Father. Just bless this day. Take care of us. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to who? To them.
Amen.
That's us, that have obtained the light precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Right.
Grace and peace. Look at all these things that if we stay in this statue of a perfect man, look, grace and peace. Boy, don't we need grace and peace.
Amen.
Amen. In all of our lives we need grace and peace. Be multiplied, not just give to you, but multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his, there's that word, divine. There's only one divine. And that's the Almighty. He's the only divine one. Satan's not divine, so we're not talking about him this morning.
Amen.
According as his divine power hath given unto who?
Us.
All things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. So that's what we're going to be speaking on through this whole statue of a perfect man, is how to conduct yourself in your life and that godliness that applies to your life. Because the only way you're going to show God is through your what? Your life. Okay? All right? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given. So there's things that are given unto us. And they're not just given, they're given to us exceeding.
Right.
Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers
glory
of the divine nature. The food may be good, but you got to eat it.
Amen.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then what we were speaking on last week. And besides this.
Right.
All right. What we're going to be talking about today is the besides this.
Amen.
Okay, verse 1 through verse 5 or 4 is talking about the new birth.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
There's only one divine nature, and that's the new birth of God. That's God's nature.
Amen.
Okay? And if you don't have it, you're not born again. If you have it, then you have the divine nature of God.
Amen.
All right, so we must see then that we truly must be born again. I don't care what other doctrine you've heard. In this church, we believe you got to be born again before you even get into the pyramid,
amen,
get into the body, and that's what the prophet taught.
Amen.
Amen? So if the prophet taught it, and the Bible taught it, and we taught it, then somewhere in those three, we got to be right. Because there is a perfecting of the saints, as we were talking about the other day. And besides this, and besides this new birth that I've been talking
amen
about, Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance, temperance patience. To patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound,
amen,
not just be in you and abound, they make you.
Glory.
It's going to turn your nature from the old man to the new man.
Amen.
It's going to make you.
Yes.
That's what it says. That you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. So you're going to bear fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, in other words, he that just gets born again and sits down and becomes a good church member,
right,
he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see. Now, what is that word see? That doesn't mean that your natural eyesight has been diminished.
Right.
That word see means understanding.
Right.
Okay? And cannot understand afar off. In other words, a furtherment of the revelation you cannot understand if you don't have these virtues working in your life, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
Amen.
Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Look at that word diligence. Look how many times it's diligence. That's a pressing. Diligence. Diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless his word, and you be seated. Ye shall never fall.
Exactly.
What a promise.
Amen.
Ye shall never fall.
Right.
You say, well, I fall every day. Well, the Bible says if you'll do these things, you won't.
Amen.
Maybe that's our problem.
Exactly.
We're not doing, we don't have the virtues working in our life. It's because we're so up and down and in and out and all those things.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Pretty straightforward sometimes. All right, let's go to Ephesians 4. And as we were talking kind of background last Sunday, all right, we're going to read Ephesians 4 in just a second. But I tell you what, put up the picture, the first one, Brother Anderson, and let's do that, and then we'll work our way down to this. Because as we were speaking, for those of you that weren't here last Sunday, because we skipped that one, if you go back to the where it says centerpiece, you'll go to the, I want you to look at this new, isn't that good? I told him, I said, that's a neat little camo pattern, and we might have to market that camouflage pattern. I think it looks good, but actually it's stones. That's like a granite rock that Brother Anderson took off the internet. So I like that. I like that a lot. It really showed. But see, here we come to Peter tells us what we must have.
Amen.
Amen.
Then Paul in Ephesians 4 is going to tell us how to get it.
Right.
All right?
Exactly.
Peter tells us, gives us the outline, shows us what we need or what's required.
Amen.
And then Paul in Ephesians 4 is going to tell us how to get it.
Amen.
So someone is telling us we need it, and someone is showing us how to get it.
Amen.
So God's so gracious. He's not going to lay something out there and not give you a way to get to it.
Amen.
Because the most ignorant person, the most unlearned person of the apostles was Peter.
That's right.
Yet he brought this great statue of a perfect man.
Amen.
Exactly.
To the apostles in the beginning, and they grew on that.
Right.
Even Paul grew on that.
Right.
All right?
Exactly.
Because it came to Peter. But this is the centerpiece, as we were talking about, just to review a little bit from last Sunday. This is the centerpiece of the message. All right? When you take the table, and you got the whole message out here, and it's called the table now, you know, and on the internet. But you've got this table set out, but what's the first thing that attracts your attention? A beautiful centerpiece.
Right.
So the centerpiece of this message, you cannot, as I was telling you last Sunday, this is not an elective course to get you into adoption.
Right.
Brother Tim, we had elective courses. I told him last Sunday that, you know, you see these football players that graduate with a PhD in pottery.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's going to help a lot. If you want to go in the pottery business. But he took a lot of electives, but there were required courses that you had to take.
Right.
Even though if you wanted to be a teacher or a doctor, you had to start with the required courses.
That's right.
You had to take English 101, English 102, English 103. That's when I was going to school. They were required for graduation.
That's right.
So these virtues are required for your graduation to adoption.
Right.
You're not going to be adopted just because you're sitting here under somebody that preaches adoption.
That's right.
It's an individual affair with God.
Right.
So these virtues are a requirement. You can't bypass that.
Right.
And you hear so many people say, wow, we're in the adoption age. We are.
Yeah.
We are in the adoption age.
Yes.
But there's got to be people that are adopted to make it the adoption age.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
You can't just call it the adoption age and nobody be there.
Right.
All right? But there's a foundation that we have to start with. We have to start with an introduction. We have to start, you know, foundation means beginning.
Yeah.
Got to have a sure foundation, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But remember, it all begins with a desire. We're going to read that same quote where Brother Brown said, it's how much faith you have is how high you can rise.
Exactly.
Not how much faith the pastor has or how much faith Brother Branham had. It's how much faith you got.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about faith today. And we're going to talk about faith maybe, and it may be this afternoon, that we talk about faith maybe in a little way, that I believe the Lord showed me to help me with faith. Not just say, well, we got to have faith, so we'll have faith.
Right.
No, it's just, that's not true. Actually, you're born faithless.
Yeah.
If you was born with faith, you wouldn't need it.
Right.
We're all contrary by nature.
Right.
Contrary is not faith.
That's right.
Okay? You're all born contrary. without the nature of God.
Right.
Okay, so maybe we'll get into that this afternoon. But you must have a desire to want these because they are there. They are given to you at your new birth, but you must grow. You must grow in grace and knowledge. You must hear the Word and let that Word bring it alive. All right? Because you get everything you need for your journey. It's just you are the one. You and I are free moral agents. Brother Tim, till the day we're changed, we're a free moral agent.
Right.
You're going to decide whether you're going to die and go by the grave or whether you're going to stand for the change. One of the two. All right? And it's according to your faith.
Exactly right.
Right.
All right? But faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Not sitting at home.
Right.
All right, now let's go to Ephesians 4. Paul's going to lay out the whole program. How are you going to get these virtues? All right? Ephesians 4. And he what? He gave some apostles,
right,
some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers.
Right.
For what? For the perfecting of the saints.
Right.
Amen. All right, watch the perfecting of the saints. All the way up at the top. That's right. The perfect. That's the stature of a perfect man. This is not the stature of a perfect man.
Right.
This is the stature of a perfect man. We'll show it to you in just a minute. But for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the what? Right. Body. That's me and you. All right, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till he give you all that till,
right,
you come, we all come in the unity of the faith,
exactly,
and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? Perfect man.
Amen.
All right? So God's give us, I was telling them before last Sunday, just reviewing for a minute, this has to be a, not a perfect, you won't have a perfect apostle, a perfect pastor, a perfect teacher. In their self, we're not perfect.
Right,
right.
But there is a perfect message that must come through those five channels. Okay? All right? And if there is a perfect message, then they have to bring it to you.
Amen.
Amen? For the perfecting of the saints, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge, not human knowledge,
right,
the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man.
Right.
Unto the measure, all right, measure is what? Development, measure. Of the stature of the fullness of Christ, not just part of it, all
right?
That we henceforth be no more children. Now, when we start today, or maybe this evening, whenever we get to it, that faith, starting at faith, that's children.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Amen? You're a child.
Right.
You must learn, you must grow up, that we henceforth, though, be no more children.
Right.
Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Look at it happening in the end time now.
Yeah.
By the sleight of men,
yes.
So it had to come from men. It come from an imperfect prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and pastor. I mean, all the five, right? Because, hey, Brother Brown said false teachers bring false births, so they're bringing something.
Yeah.
It's just false,
right?
Right? Anointed ones at the end time.
Yes, sir.
We're dealing with it now. By the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in love, may grow up.
Amen.
Yes.
Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Right.
From whom the whole body fitly joined. Even in the natural pyramid, you can't put a knife blade in between those huge stones.
Right. Yes.
We can't duplicate that even in the end time. That it's so compacted together that you can't put a knife blade between them. That's pretty good for all them. They said there's several million of them stones in those pyramids. To make every one of them fit the right way and it be a stone,
yes,
had to be Almighty help them do that.
Amen.
From whom the whole... But you know what? He's requiring that of me and you.
Right.
That Satan can't put a knife blade in between,
right,
my faith and my virtue, my knowledge, your faith, your virtue, right, your knowledge. Satan can't get a headway into that.
Right. Amen.
Amen? That's the problem now.
Yes.
We got cracks in our walk,
right,
or in our growth development, or in our measurement of the fullness of Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted.
Right.
Man, not just put the building in, but I mean pack that baby in.
Right.
By that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working,
right,
Look at these words that are action words.
Yes.
They're all action. Diligent. You see all this, and I'm telling you, it takes an overcoming.
Amen.
Amen. You got to overcome something to come to church. It's easy to sit at home and watch it on the internet.
Right.
I know some people have to, but overcomers come to church.
Right. Amen.
And then overcomers can go to Revelation to see all those 8 different overcomings that you get blessed by.
Right.
The reason we're not getting blessed is because we're not doing what God said.
Amen.
True.
Can I hear it from the back?
Amen.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
That's our problem.
Amen.
That's our problem.
Right.
According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. That means we all grow together unto the edifying of itself.
Right.
Yes.
So we edify ourselves.
Right.
In love. All right. One for the other. Not adding to that, but one to the other adding. Now look. Remember last Sunday, still reviewing. There's what Paul is telling you how to get it. You got to listen to a perfect word
right.
to become perfected. You can't be perfected by non-word.
Right.
All right? So you got to have the right kind of word. But there is a suffering. There is an overcoming.
Sure.
There. Remember we read the quote where Brother Bram says, power without character is satanic.
Right.
So we must have, we know we have the power. The Holy Ghost is the power.
Amen.
Amen? The Holy Ghost is the power. We have that power.
Right.
It was released on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
If you want to put an age on the Holy Ghost, it's 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's been here for a while. I'm saying it's not something new.
Right.
Brother Brown did not come to bring us a new birth.
That's right.
Or a different way to get it.
Right.
Or God changed His mind from Paul to here.
Right.
Brother Branham came to expand to what? I think he brought to fitly join together and compact the word that was already here.
Right. Amen.
He didn't come to bring us a new word.
Right.
He took that word that we had, man had eat that thing to where it wasn't of any effect.
That's right.
The faith of the people had been deteriorated
right.
against the word of God. The Catholic Church says, no, you don't need to read it. We'll tell you what it says.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, see, that's where it started. And then it becomes the denominations where you got Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever, Branhamites,
yep.
that have eroded the word so much that God can't work. He can't work in non-word.
Amen.
All right? Though it may be the letter of the word.
Yes.
Remember, though it be the letter of the word.
Right.
But it takes the power and the character.
Amen.
We have the power. Now it takes the character of God
right.
to bring that power to the right position, because power without character is satanic.
Right.
All right? Power without character, what happened to Judas?
Yeah.
Judas had the power.
Yeah.
He preached, they cast out devils, they healed the sick.
Yes.
Right.
Jesus told him, you have the power, go.
Right.
Go preach the gospel. But Judas didn't have the character of God.
Right.
We know he didn't have the new birth in his soul, because none of them had a new birth until Jesus died.
Amen.
And come back on the day of Pentecost. We know that. But Judas was so close. He had the power of God.
Sure.
But his power and his character wasn't together.
Right.
So that made him satanic. That made him
yep.
what he was. So that's the same thing with you and I. So we have to suffer to reign. We must overcome. Remember, it's not what you overcome, it's how you overcome it.
Right.
All right. Then we must have the power and the character to go along with it.
Right.
To bring us up to the stature of a fullness of Christ.
Glory.
Now, also, here we keep going. Remember, we read the scripture there in Galatians where that the law was a schoolmaster.
Right.
Right. Yeah. To bring us to Christ. It didn't put us in Christ, it brought us to Christ.
Right.
It puts you in a way to where that you realize you were lost. You have to realize you were lost before you can be saved.
That's right.
Amen? So the law brought you, the do's and don'ts of the law brought you, the schoolmaster. Remember, the schoolmaster was not necessarily the teacher. The schoolmaster was the principal. When we were growing up, we had principals, but back on further, later, you know, back in the 1500s, 1600s, they had They had schoolmasters, or they called them school marms. And when you got in trouble, that's where you went, because she knew all the do's and don'ts. The teacher was the one that was teaching you the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s. The schoolmaster's the one that kept you straight.
That's right.
All right, so that's what the law is. The law is the schoolmaster to bring you to Christ.
Right.
All right, but then Paul keeps going on Galatians 4, where he says, but you're not under a schoolmaster anymore. Because
right.
When you get into Christ, the schoolmaster comes in you.
Right. Yes. Amen.
It's still do's and don'ts, but it's a love of doing and don't. And it's not a, I cut my hair, but they'd say something about it. No. It's like June always said, and I use this as an example. If June said, if God himself can come down, suffer what he suffered, die on a cross, give his life for me, my little bit of glory back to him. If he says, don't cut your hair, I'm not going to cut my hair.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Exactly right.
Amen?
Yeah.
You know what? God honors that.
Amen.
You know what the Bible says about cutting hair? Okay? You can read it. It's still the Word of God. I don't care where you go.
Amen.
All right? Where was I? Schoolmaster. Then you are now under tutors and governors. The Holy Ghost is now the tutor or the teacher and the governor of your life. Should be. Once you get born again. It's not do's and don'ts. We're going to read a scripture in a minute where... or maybe later on, where Paul says, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ.
Right.
Now look, let me explain that real quick for those of you that may not come back this afternoon that gets all of it today and don't need the rest of the service. I don't understand. You're not doing what the Bible says. But see, there we go. You think, well, I'm sick. Well, okay. But anyway, if you take, and if I leave Gillsville, Georgia, and I'm going to see Brother Tim in Manchester, Tennessee, I'm leaving Gillsville to go to Manchester, Tennessee.
Yeah. Amen.
But I'm not doing away with Gillsville as I leave.
That's right.
So see, Paul's not saying leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. In other words, let's don't do them things anymore. No do's and don'ts and water baptism and all that.
Right.
No, he's saying we're going to leave that and we're going to continue on to Manchester, Tennessee. Gillsville, Georgia's still there. But I'm leaving that. And I'm going to Manchester. I'm leaving the principles of what my foundation is, and I'm going to carry on to another level. I'm not doing away with this. Because that's our foundation.
Right.
That's what we're talking about today, okay? Now, bring the picture up. We read the scripture of how that Jesus was what? He had a he was the headstone. Next picture. Bear with them for a minute. See, there's your picture. Now, what happened was, remember, the Bible says the headstone was rejected. Right? So that's the way it looks now.
Amen.
If you're starting your growth, okay? Because the headstone was rejected, wasn't put on the actual pyramid. So the headstone, which is Christ,
right.
All right, the Son of Man, he had to go away. He was rejected.
Amen.
They rejected the Son of Man.
Yes.
Okay? They rejected the Son of Man. Now, we know the Son of God was in the Son of Man, but just to keep it simple, they rejected the headstone. Well, they done away with him.
Right.
Had their own creeds, their own ideas, and whatever. But what he did was, he didn't disappear, Brother Tim, and go away. He comes right back down the corner of the Scripture and becomes what?
Right.
Bring it up. Stone. Head of the corner.
Right. Amen.
He comes right down here and starts building that building again.
Right. Yes. Amen.
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 He comes right here. That's just a little pyramid. Each one of those squares, or each one of those corners, is a little pyramid in itself. And what he's going to do, he's going to come right down here and he's going to build you back up. He doesn't need building back up.
That's right.
You can't tear down Jesus Christ.
Right.
But you can tear down the effects of what he said. And that's what the world's been doing for all these years. But right here, he comes right back down here with the love of God on the cornerstone and becomes the head of the corner.
Right, right.
What? To bring us back up to adoption.
Yes.
To the Son of Man revelation in the end time.
Yes.
This was the Son of God through seven church ages.
Right, right.
The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right, got that?
Right.
But remember, the Son of God does not get adopted.
Right. Son of God's the Holy Ghost. Amen. He is the adopter.
Yes, right.
Amen. He's he's the one that does the adopting.
Amen.
But the Son of Man is the only one that can reach adoption. So down through the seven church ages, man done away with him. But God started right back here on the day of Pentecost, started building a foundation from the cornerstone,
right,
building it up to, back up to where man can be adopted. That's why in the end time, the only way the Son of Man could come back was the gospel of the Son of Man had to be preached.
Glory.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
With no error.
Right.
Amen.
Did Jesus have error when he was standing here on earth? So if you say the Son of Man ministry is back on the earth, there's no error to that ministry.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Because you can't be adopted. He would have not took Jesus up there on the mountain and adopted him if there was some error there somewhere.
Right. Amen.
So you say, well, you got your ideas and I've got my ideas and I've heard this brother's got his ideas. There's only one truth.
Amen.
Right. Exactly right.
There's only one truth.
That's right.
It's like Brother Trevor told that guy the other day on that video that he was doing with there were some brothers come from Africa to the tabernacle giving out tracts. Did anybody see that? Giving out tracts promoting polygamy through the prophet's message.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Brother Trevor said, Brother, you know what? He said, I'm not going to argue with you. He said, either you're wrong and I'm right, or I'm wrong and you're right, but we both can't be right.
Right.
That's right.
When it comes to God, you both can't have a different opinion and be right.
Right.
It's got to be one faith, one Lord, and one baptism.
Right.
If I would have been up here, I'd have said, look, brother, you can have all the wives you want.
Right.
But you ain't in the message.
Right.
You can have all the wives you want. Go back to Africa and have all the women you want. I said, you just got a lust spirit on you, that's all.
Right.
And if you can handle four or five different wives, you're a better man than I am. And the men say, amen. The truth anyhow, that is the truth.
Right.
Okay then. They can have them, they can have all they want, but they're not in the Bible. They're not in the prophet's message, that's for sure. But you know what? The brother took the book, Marriage and Divorce, and kept pointing. The prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said. He was saying it right out of what this message is. He wasn't taking no other book. He took that Marriage and Divorce book and was proving polygamy to all those people up there. So don't tell me that the letter of the word's got any power.
Right. Exactly right.
The letter of the word has no power.
Right.
But it's power behind the letter.
That's right.
Amen. The power behind the letter. And that's what we're talking about here. We can say, oh, we need these. We need these. That's what we've been saying for 50 years.
Uh-huh.
We need these. We need these. No, we must have them.
That's right.
And there is a way to get to them if you'll just listen. All right? So now we're going to start with a foundation. We're going to start with a foundation. If you'll take all those away and put us down to one, we're going to talk about faith today. All right? We have to have a starting point. And it's called faith.
Amen.
All right. Can everybody see that? Can you raise that up a little bit? I think the ones in the back can't see it. If not, that's okay. Can everybody see that? Richard, can you see it? Okay. All right. If you can see it on the back row, we're fine. So let's go to Hebrews 5. Now remember the parable of a man building his house on sand and then one building on a rock. We all know that, okay? A rock is what? A revelation. A rock is a firm foundation. All right? So now in Hebrews 5, verse 8. All right? Everybody got it? Okay, they got it. Though he were a son, now this is Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
That's right.
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say,
right,
and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing.
Right.
This is Paul, but he's talking to us.
Yeah.
For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, he's not saying you don't need to be a babe. He's saying you're staying a babe.
Yeah.
All right? But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use exercise.
Right.
Even those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Right.
That means we must study. That's what I said. It's going to take you study. It's going to take a desire for you to say, God, I need these virtues and I want these virtues.
Glory.
All right, if you don't, then we can't help you. All right? All right, let's go to Hebrews 6. Let's read a few scriptures and see. We're going to continue. That was 1 through 3. And this will we do. Look. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, there's only one. It doesn't say doctrines.
Exactly right.
This doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God.
Right.
So we're not gonna start with faith and then we're gonna start building another little you're not gonna build your own foundation over here on the side. Yeah. It's not you. It has nothing to do with you. It's God. All right? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God,
right,
of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment.
Right.
And this will we do if God permit.
Right.
Well, God has permitted for it to be done.
Amen.
So don't worry about it. It is being done.
Right.
All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. I like this scripture here. For we are laborers together with God.
Right.
With God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, who is this? Paul. Paul's age was that first church age right down there where it says faith. All right? That was the foundation of all Christianity, came from Paul, Peter, James, John, the 12 apostles. All right? Because we're going to read here in just a minute. That's what it was built on. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth their own. Paul knew he's going to lay the foundation, but he knew he wasn't the only one to come.
Right.
All right? And another buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Right, exactly.
Okay? Take heed. It's got to be built right. It can't be built
according
to somebody else's foundation. Paul laid the foundation. Brother Brown says many times, Paul, 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 Paul. He knew if he preached what Paul preached that he was on the right road because Paul preached it straight the first time.
Yeah.
All right? For other foundation can no man lay that is laid. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's the foundation of it all. All right? We know that. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Your works shows your faith.
Right. Amen.
Amen? All right? Faith without works is dead. But works is not faith.
Right.
In its totality.
Right?
Because you can work yourself to death and not have no faith at all.
Exactly.
We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later on this evening. All right? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. See, our day is going to declare what we believe.
That's right.
Amen? Our day is going to declare what we believe, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work.
Right.
You're going to be tried.
Amen.
Of what sort it is.
Glory.
If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Right.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Exactly.
Amen?
Amen?
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Amen.
He's asking a question. See the question
mark?
So it's left up to you to tell Paul, or me, or Brother Dale, or whoever, the world, that you have the Spirit of God in you.
Right.
All right? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy.
Right.
For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen? That's pretty self-explanatory. But that's got to be the foundation. Now go to Ephesians 2. Verse 19 through 22, we read this one last Sunday. This is where Christ is the head, but he's now become the chief cornerstone. But watch this. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. You've come into a new family.
Right.
You're not, this is not the family of the world.
Right.
This is what I was studying on yesterday morning. This has nothing to do with the world.
Amen.
Nothing. Not one thing. Brother Tim, out here, yeah. This all has to do with the world.
That's right.
Even your justification and sanctification, you still have that worldly part.
Right. Amen.
You got a worldly nature until you're born again.
That's right.
And you're born again in what? Faith.
Right.
So you're not in this body. You're not in this kingdom. You're not in this family. You're not in this city. Until you're born again.
Right. Amen.
So there's nothing of the world in this. It's not worldly patience.
Right.
There's many people in the world that has patience.
Right.
That's not godly patience.
Right. Amen.
These are all God virtues, not man virtues.
Amen.
Alright, because we're born contrary to God, right?
Right.
Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
Right.
Alright? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We showed that a minute ago. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth.
Right, that's right.
Growth development. Groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord.
Right.
In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Right.
You cannot be a habitation of God until you have the Spirit of God in you.
Right. Exactly right.
Why does the Bible say the unclean spirit has to go out of a man?
Right.
The unclean spirit has to go out of a man because you're born. Listen, we're born wrong. We're born with an unclean spirit. Let's just agree with that.
Yeah. Amen.
You weren't born no different than Adolf Hitler.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I had this seed in me and I had that. Oh, forget it, people.
Yeah.
You were born dead.
Right.
Found a quote the other day where Brother Brown said, you were born with a sinful soul. Now, how much more can you...
Right.
You were born with a sinful soul. Let's just say we were born dead.
Right.
Lost.
Exactly.
Out of this kingdom. Sure, God knew we were coming in. God knew. God had a word for us. He had a seed for us.
Sure.
But it came to me. It wasn't in me. If it was in me, God didn't have to die on a cross.
Right.
He died on the cross to release that life so it could come into me.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus, people. Come on. Jesus even breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, did they receive the Holy Ghost right then?
No.
Now, why didn't that seed quicken right then if it was already in them?
Right.
The Word Himself said, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Wasn't a second person. That was God Almighty that said it, and it didn't quicken that seed because that seed was laying there. It was dead in the Word. But when he came back on the day of Pentecost,
glory.
That word came to the people.
Amen.
And it quickened what they held on to.
Glory.
Amen? That, you know what? That makes God, I've said it before, that makes God a just God.
Right.
He can't be a just God if he birthed you a different way than he birthed anybody else.
Right. Exactly right. Right.
One more time. Because if one man can walk up to the day of judgment and say, you made Waddell different than me. Now, don't tell me, because remember, the minds of everybody is going to be expounded when we get over there.
That's right.
In that theophany, everybody's mind is going to be expanded. They're going to know that they were a sinner, they were lost, and on their way to hell.
Right.
But if they know that, hey, that guy was born different than me, how can God be just?
Right.
Well, they were my children. Well, then you made me different.
True.
He made me different.
Right.
All God's going to say is, he chose me and you didn't. That's the basis.
Right.
Brother Brown never said anything about free moral agency being done away with.
That's
Right. Free moral agency is the soul of man to choose faith or doubt.
Right.
You were not born with faith and doubt in your soul. You were born with one or the other.
Right.
Not both. Right. All right, everybody, we know that here. But there's a lot of people that don't understand that. And they think there's some great something. But Ephesians 2, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple. All right? Now look, Hebrews 11. Let's go there right now. Because we're going to start today on this foundation called faith. Got it? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, not 2 days before, he got a knowledge. He walked 500 years with God. Amen? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, who? God. Impossible to please God. You can't even understand Jesus Christ until you get born again. All right? For he that cometh to God must believe. Yeah. Believe that he is what? That he is God.
Yes.
You got to believe that. That's what I'm saying about this faith thing. This faith thing is a belief in something.
Right.
All right? That he is. And the, he is a rewarder of them that what? There's another one of those action words. Diligently
right.
seek him.
Right.
Paul liked to use that word, and so did Peter. So we must be diligent about what we're doing. All right, so let's read one quote, and then we'll make some comments here. I want to get this first quote. I want the prophet to tell us. Now look, it's in the stature of a perfect man, number one. I read this last Sunday, but we're going to read it again, and this is where we're going to start from. Try to hold on to about another 15 or 20 minutes. All right, paragraph 100. A man can't understand why people shout. Man can't understand why human beings' language would change in his speaking tongues. The natural man can't see how a glory of God would come over a man's eyes and he'd see visions and tell them of certain things and what to do. And tell them things that's fixing to happen and fix things to come to pass. Like the Lord did for us here last night even. See? The natural mind tries to figure it out. Well, what did he do? Or what kind of a hoax is he using? What gimmick has he got? To see a man speaking in tongues, they'd say. Somebody interpret and tell just exactly to a certain member of the body what they've done and what they should not do. See, they think it's some kind of a hoax. There's something fixed up between them. That's what always they said, you know. But now look at paragraph 101. They can't understand it till that man's born again.
Right.
All right? So don't try to understand. You can't understand God unless you're born again.
Right. Amen.
All right? Then we're going to back up and talk about the new birth. In just a little bit. Then when he's born again, then he's in line for fellowship.
Right.
Because he's a new creation. That old, suspicious, doubting character he was is dead. Now he's a new creation. So you see, he don't have to add anything to his now because it'll automatically be added. All right? Notice, you must be born again. I don't know where people try to see that you got to get all these virtues before you get the Holy Spirit. We'll discuss that Holy Spirit right there. It is a different anointing than when you were born again. Absolutely. But it's not you got to wait that far to get the new birth. That's totally incorrect. There's no truth to that at all. You can't put it in the Bible or the prophet's message. Because we just told you there, Peter said you got to have the divine nature of God. And besides this, add to your born again experience virtue. All right? Notice, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith.
Amen.
That's right. So you see, on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. So see, though we may leave that foundation of faith, you never quit believing.
Right.
It's always there. Right? For without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Now he's quoting scripture here. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you're a skeptic of the Bible, don't you remember when you were a skeptic of the Bible? Whether you ever read it or not, if you didn't read it, you sure didn't believe it was even in existence.
Right.
Right? So you're an unbeliever. But when you're skeptic of the Bible, when you're skeptic of the Word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it.
Amen.
All right? See, there's the first principles of the oracles of God. The water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that we learn, you know, the dress, the hair, and all that. That'll come. That'll come. May not be instantly, but it's got to come because it's contrary to the Bible if you don't do these things that the Bible says.
Right.
Or you do things that the Bible says not to do. All right? That's iniquity.
Right.
All right? When you're skeptic of the Word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. What is sin? Smoking, drinking, cussing, cutting your hair, running around with women? No. The reason you do that is because you're an unbeliever. What is sin? Unbelief. There's only two elements. Now look, this is what we read last Sunday, but I want you to see it. Look here, Brother Tim. There's only two elements that controls the human being.
Right.
Two. So let's break it right down to just two elements. That's either doubt or faith.
Right. Yes.
One or the other. Not one and the other.
Right.
You're possessed of one that dominates your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Just depends on how much faith you have, how high you can rise. Depends on how much faith you have, is how high you can rise. But first, it's got to be faith. Let me stay on that foundation for a while. Now, faith is what you must believe. Faith is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's you already have it when you have faith because it's revealed in faith. All right, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11. See, and we'll cover that maybe this afternoon. What is it? What kind of an evidence? A holy evidence. So it takes you right to that evidence. The evidence is the holy evidence.
Amen.
All right, it's a holy evidence. I like that quote. I think I'm going to take that and put it up on my refrigerator, June. How high you can rise.
Right.
It's your job.
Right.
But now look, you got to get to where you can hear. You got to get where you can hear because remember, faith comes by hearing.
Right.
Remember, it comes by preaching of the Word of God.
Right.
So you got to put yourself in these things is how high you can rise. Because you know what? It's like I was telling them, Brother Tim. Brother Tim's a master electrician.
Yeah.
Right, Brother Tim? I mean, he works on huge, like, big complexes. I'm scared to take that. See, you laugh. And that's okay. You laugh because it does. It scares me. If I was to take them screws off of that plate right there, scare me to death that I'm going to get electrocuted. Why? Because I don't have faith in myself because I don't understand
right. Electricity. Right.
But I know what it'll do to me if I put my finger in there.
Right.
But see, Brother Tim, he's like, well, geez, that's like a piece of candy. I'll just take off here and I'll move this. I'm going to move this over here and I'll move this over here. Don't turn the electricity off. I can handle it. Don't turn it. And he fixes it, puts it back. Why? He's got faith in what he can do.
Right.
Because he's been taught.
Right.
He took the required courses in class.
Right.
That's right.
He took the required. You know what? I bet you he didn't sit at home, and they had class, and he said, "Well, I don't need it."
No,
right.
That's right.
That's a good way to get killed.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You fool with electricity. He fools with it's vaporization.
Right.
It ain't just burn. It's like you're there a minute and then you're not.
Right.
There's only left is your shoes. That's what Brother Keith Reed said. He saw that several times when he was in Jamaica. He works on those great big complexes. He saw a guy open a thing up one time, and it arced.
Yes.
He stepped into it. A guy opened the big panel up, and he stepped into it, and it flash arced. And he said there was nothing left of the man but shoes. He was gone. But you know what? It's because the man made a mistake. He didn't have enough knowledge of what he was doing. That's the same way with the Word of God.
Right.
You must be skillful in the knowledge of the Word. How can you use a sword without having one first and then without trying to take and practice? That's what Brother Tim, he practiced, he done the right things. Well, obviously he ain't made a mistake in the electrical part, he's still sitting here.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, that's the same way with you and I. We haven't made a mistake if we're sitting in church and we're listening to the Word of God, if we're doing the things of God. Well, we're not making that kind of a mistake, but that's our problem because it's life and godliness that we're talking about. It's our everyday life But Brother Tim, he's got the knowledge, so therefore that doesn't scare him. Well, that's the same way with the Word of God. The reason we're scared of the Word of God, or that we don't have faith, is because we don't believe the Word of God's what it is.
Right.
That's just basic ground level. You know, you say, well, I just don't see it. That means you don't understand it.
Right.
Okay? You must understand God. You must believe that He is, and a rewarder of him that diligently seek you, just as the Scripture said. But first, you've got to have faith. Now, faith is what you must believe.
Amen.
Faith is what? Substance of things hoped for. It's you already have it when you have faith, because it's revealed in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11. See, the evidence, what is it? What kind of an evidence? A holy evidence.
Right.
All right? But it's got to be faith. Now, let's go to Romans 10. Then we'll stop right here for a minute and pull our chart up, and we'll start. Maybe do a little bit with justification. All right? Romans 10. Everybody all right? Everybody getting kind of where we're going here? Because we've got to have a foundation. You've got to be born again. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear about this person that they have not believed in without a preacher?
Exactly right.
Am I adding to the word? I'm telling you what he's saying.
Right.
Like Paul, I'm interpolating a little bit in there because that's what he said. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Hear what? Hear who they're believing in.
Right.
Because you got to believe in something you hadn't seen.
Exactly right.
Anybody seen Jesus die on the cross?
No.
Only in movies.
Right.
Right? It's hearsay. But I believe that he did.
Right.
Because the faith in me believes that he did.
Right. Exactly right.
And we know absolutely he did. And how shall they preach except they be sent? It's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel.
Right.
So yeah, amen on that, Brother Ray. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report?
Right.
I want to ask you one thing. Who has believed your report?
Right.
Hmm? Exactly. Who has believed your report?
Right.
Is your report in the world that God, that they can look at you? Because remember, I like what Brother Williams said. He said, I don't want to be called religious.
Yeah. Right.
The devil's religious.
That's right.
But now the devil can't be a Christian.
Right.
That's true.
Devil can't be Christ. Can't
right.
be Christ. He can't act like Christ. Now sure, he can get close, but he can't act just like Christ. So I want to be called a Christian. Because remember, the people in Antioch were called Christians because they acted like Christ. They looked at the people in Antioch, and some of them that were still alive when Jesus was alive and on the earth, they'd look at him, and they looked at them, and they said, man, they act the same. Why? They were Christ-like. That's what Christian means. So I don't want to be religious. I want to be a Christian. All right? So then faith. Now here's the whole summation here in Romans. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
All right, and like Brother William said, I like what he said too, that the Word, that's the highest apex of God.
Right. Amen.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away.
Right.
Amen.
It's what God said, and you know what? He can't change his mind.
Right.
Amen. It's forever written. This Bible is the true Word of God. The prophet of God didn't come and bring us a new Bible.
Right.
This Bible was revealed.
Amen.
Yes.
By the prophet's message. Absolutely, but you know what? Brother Brown even said, if you leave that laying on a page, it can be doubted.
Right.
But when that ever comes in here,
right. Exactly.
If that ever comes in here,
right.
Even Satan can't doubt it. He's got to know
right.
that if that's in here,
right.
And he's not, oh, he's religious, but he's not a Christian.
Amen.
Can't be one. Never can be a Christian. Never will be a Christian.
Right, right.
But he definitely was the first religious person in the world.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, God was God, but Satan was religious.
Right.
All right? So, just be... I'm sorry?
Everybody's religious.
Yeah, everybody's religious. You're right about that. Everybody's religious. Especially the people get in trouble when they find Jesus in jail. You know, they get religious when they go before the judge. When they got caught, they had hair down to here and tattoos up to here, but when they go meet the judge, they got a long sleeve shirt on, and of course the lawyer tells him to do this, puts a long sleeve shirt on to hide the tattoos and gets his hair cut first thing. Why? He's presenting himself in front of a judge.
Yeah, that's right.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
He's presenting himself before the judge. But you know what? He just cleaned the outside up.
Right.
He didn't clean the inside guy up. When we present ourselves before the judge, God, he looks down in here first. And then sees what it works out to the outside. So now faith is what? Faith is the divine nature of God.
Amen.
The beginning of your Christian experience has to start with faith.
Glory.
Amen? You have to start, and it's a process. It's not God just dumping something on you. He knows that you can't handle it. He knows. He knows you can't handle just God just saying, here it is.
Right.
Because as a baby, you can choke a baby with what? With meat, you choke a baby.
Right.
But now hold on a minute. The baby can still eat.
Yep.
Right? But as he grows, he gets more teeth.
Right.
So he can eat. He gets to where he can digest it. Well, God's not like us. He don't try to rush you into anything. Like we want to try, you know, we want our kids to be sports stars when they're three. But God knows that we got to grow. You know, he knows that we've got to have a baby form faith. There in Romans 8, it says we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy. All right, we don't receive adoption when we're born again. We receive the spirit of adoption, where you're in line for adoption. You got to come from the schoolmaster to the tutor, and then that tutor, as Brother Branham says many times, that tutor goes to the father and says, he's just like you. Or he goes to the father and says, he's being disobedient.
Right.
The prodigal son was a son.
Yes.
Okay? He just backslid for a little while.
Yes, he did.
Amen? But, process. So here's the process that we must go through. Bring up the one you had up a minute ago with faith, the foundation, and justification, the sanctification. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about the new birth. And the new birth, you know as well as I do, is one of the most ill-taught subjects. Brother Branham said it was ill-taught 50 years ago, and I say it's still ill-taught now.
Right.
Okay? Because remember, we got to come to a place that if we're born again and we look into the Word of God and we're doing something contrary to what that Word says, we must repent.
Right.
Or either you're not born again or not yet.
Right.
Okay? One of the two. All right? One of the two. And I know there's things that we do that, and I'm going to try to explain some of this as we go. We may just get into justification for about a few minutes here. But we must start. See, look, this does not put you in the body just because you're justified.
Right.
Are sanctified.
Right.
Still have spirits to deal with.
Right.
Still got them to deal with here, but they're on the outside, not the inside.
Right.
Amen? All right? Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And like Brother Branham said, it's not three different new births. It's one new birth with three processes.
Right.
So you go through a process. And I believe you can understand the new birth a lot better if you go through those three processes.
Right, that's true.
Because everybody has to go through them.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Everybody has to go through them. All right? So you're not exempt. Then what you have to do is, we have to let the prophet of God break those down for us.
Right.
Because he said, no, Baptist, I can't go with you on just coming up and shaking hands and turning around and presenting them as, you know, as a new member. No, that don't drive nothing out.
Right.
Okay? And the Baptist is very wrong when they say once saved, always saved, if you act like you did before.
Right. Yeah.
It's like a guy said one time, he said, you know what, to be saved is you was in the water drowning. Somebody picked you up and put you in the boat.
Yeah. Right.
They didn't look down and say, you're saved.
Yeah.
You're still drowning.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what the Baptist is. Says, now, you just believe. Well, the guy that's swimming is going, I believe I'm going to die if you don't get me up out of this water.
Right.
But being saved is you've been taken from what problem you were in, situation, and put in another one.
Right.
Okay? So, because remember, justification is what?
Right.
Not 360, that puts you back in the same direction.
Right.
I've heard some people say you got to do a 360. No, 360 just turns you right back in the same place you were going.
Right.
You got to do a 180.
Right. Yeah.
Walk away from what you were doing.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
So faith is what we were showing there. It's a process. Three stages of the same grace that puts you into the body.
Right.
All right, now for a moment, we can bring Genesis 1 in here. Genesis 1:26 is right here. Not here. Because you're not in the body until you get right here.
Right.
Okay? You're not. Your foundation is faith. I have to believe that I'm part of that Genesis 1:26 family.
Right.
But now what I have to do, though, is, Brother Richard, I have to turn around and prove that by the way I live.
Right.
I have to turn around and prove that by the way I live.
Right.
Yes. All right? I can't keep saying I do this and that and the other, and then I'm in the family of God. No, the characteristics of God, your walk, your talk, and everything has got to be different. Okay? Different. Okay? Because justification, we're going to read what the prophet said here. Even in the statue of a perfect man, he proves that you got to go through these three stages of grace before you get the virtues. So before we get the virtues of God, we got to understand that either we are born again and we can start on our journey, or we're not born again, and we just had an experience.
Amen.
We're not born again. We just had an experience. And there's no way you can do that without having the new birth. There's no way you can grow in virtue and all the tempers without having that foundation. But you know what? It's got to start with believing.
Yes.
Faith is believing.
Glory.
Believe in what? The Word.
Right.
Now, what some man told, the Word. You got to believe in the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
All right? And that's why we had to have a prophet, because some of those teachers taught us things that weren't right.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all the Trinity, and all that stuff, and oh, it's okay to do this, and it's okay to do that. No, it's not. The prophet of God brought all that together, didn't bring us a new birth.
Right.
Amen. He brought the same new birth that they had on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
If not, he was a false prophet.
Exactly right.
Amen. He brought the same new birth. Not just believe you're in the message.
Right.
The devil believes he's in the message. Actually, the devil is in the message.
Right.
He got here to church before some of you late people did.
Yeah.
Right.
See, that's where you got to go back. You say, well, I haven't had a problem. Brother Bram said, be here 20 minutes before service, pray, read your Bible, and study.
Yeah. Right.
Then you come to service right at the time church starts, and you go, well, I didn't get anything. Yeah, you didn't. You didn't get nothing. Because
right.
You didn't do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
See, that goes back to believing. You don't believe what the prophet said. See, watch all these things. You become an unbeliever if you keep putting it down.
Right.
You show that yourself you're an unbeliever by
right.
doing not doing what he said. All right?
Amen.
So now, number two. Let's go to number two. And we'll come back to that. But everybody see, this doesn't put you in the body. This doesn't put you in the body. This does.
Right.
But you got to start with faith to believe you're justified. You got to start with faith to believe you're sanctified. So Brother Brown's absolutely true when he says you must start with faith.
Right.
I believe. I believe that God took the sins that I did and did away with them.
Amen.
Now the devil's going to remind you of them. You may drive by the place that you did the sinning. You may sometimes look at the place you did the sinning. But God can't remember them. I have to believe that the sins that I had before I asked Him to save me are gone.
Right.
And people, they'll haunt you till the day if you don't say, God, you promised.
That's right.
You promised you'd do away with my sins if I ask you to forgive me.
That's right.
And you got to believe that He did it.
Yes, sir.
Because remember, we got to stand sinless before Him.
Amen.
The only way we can stand sinless before Him is to know that we put them all in the sea of His forgiveness.
That's right.
Never, the Bible says, to be remembered again.
Amen.
But now look, in justification, though, you're going to keep doing it. Because the unclean spirit that made you do it, that's why you got to keep getting forgiveness.
Right.
Justification, that unclean spirit's still there. If you were drinking and you're still drinking, you're just justified.
Right.
If you're smoking and still smoking, you were justified.
Right.
You cannot be sanctified. I'm telling you, by the word of God and the prophet's message, you cannot be sanctified. We'll talk about that this afternoon. You can't be sanctified and be cussing, smoking, drinking, running around with women, living immorally. There's no way. So just say, look, hey, if I'm still doing it, thank God you forgive me of my past sins.
That's right. Right,
right, Brother Tim?
Amen.
You got to come to that and nail that thing down and say, God, I know you forgive me for that. Now let's work on the thing that I got to get rid of to not do that again.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. Because remember, the unclean spirit goes out at sanctification. The unclean spirit that made you do those things has got to go out of you. But you got to fill it with something.
Amen.
Or that puppy will come right back, and he'll bring some good religious devils with him this time, and he'll put you in church, and you'll still do the things out there. That's what's wrong with the church and the messy churches of the hour. There's too much of that junk still going on. Secret sinners. All right, let's read number two, and then we'll. I feel we need to stop here, and then we'll. This afternoon, we'll start on justification, start on sanctification and baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you must be born again.
Right.
Look, this is another quote, paragraph 131 from Statute of Perfect Man. First, you must be born again. And then, when you're born again, you have faith, you believe the Word. Until you're born again, you'll argue against it.
Right.
If you're just religiously inclined.
Right.
And you got a little human knowledge that you should do right. You'll never be able to agree upon the Word of God.
Right.
You'll never do it. You got to be born again.
Amen.
And born again, it produces faith. All right? Then after you get faith, that's right here, F-A-I-T-H. He's pointing to his chart. Then you're just in position of growing.
Right.
All right? Now, a lot of people go up to the altar and pray and say, Lord, forgive me. And a great experience of sanctification comes upon them and things. And you have a great time, get up to the altar shouting, you go back, say, bless God, I got it. No, you just started to a place where you can grow.
Right.
You ain't done nothing yet, see. The only thing you've done is just laid the foundation.
Right.
Now, you're going to build a house. And you pour the foundation. Say, boy, I got her. See, you got foundation to build your house on.
Yeah.
Now you got to build the house.
Right.
Okay? Now there's where the thing comes in. This morning we're going to talk about now, all right, a house. This foundation is first. What is the foundation of Christianity?
Right.
So if you're a Christian, here's your foundation.
Right.
Faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
That's your foundation. Then you begin to grow. Okay, so you can't grow without being born again.
Right.
Then you start, you begin to add to this foundation. See, when you become a new creation or a new creature in Christ, you start at faith. That's why I say everybody starts at the same level.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody starts at the same level. God's not a respecter of persons. He starts at the same level. So now, let me read this one more quote. Because Brother Brown in Church Order, 1958, he explains a little bit about justification and sanctification. And what we'll do is this afternoon, we'll back up and speak on it. Watch this. We believe in justification by faith. Romans 5:1. We believe that after a person being justified by faith, he has peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Got it? See, that's what we got to understand too. See, if you're truly justified, you're already glorified. We know that. We'll talk about that maybe later on. But in baby form justification, the way I like to call it, baby form justification, if God forgives you your sins and you get killed tomorrow, you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
Everybody okay with that? You're going to heaven. You've had your past sins forgiven. You're going to heaven because you have been justified by God. But now you're not in here.
Right.
You're not in the bride. You're just going to be given eternal life at the white throne judgment. You're still going to have to prove your works to God.
Right.
Amen? But now if you get justified and then 2 years later, you're still justified, you have made the Word of God of none effect,
right,
and you're going to hell.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right?
Amen. That's the way we believe it here. We believe that after a person being justified by faith, he has peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's possible that this same person could have habits such as drinking, smoking, doing things that he should not do, filthy habits of the flesh.
Right.
Okay? Got it?
Right.
But from here back, you've been forgiven.
Yeah.
All right? But you still got those habits.
Right.
We'll get into that a little bit more this afternoon. Then we believe that the blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies this person for the service of the Lord.
Right.
And that's, we believe in sanctification according to Hebrews 13, 12 and 13, where Jesus said that he might sanctify the people with his own blood,
right,
suffered without the gate. And we believe that sanctification is taught in the New Testament and meant for the believers through the New Testament age, which we're now living.
Right.
And we also believe that after the person has been sanctified, unclean habits has gone from that person.
Right.
Amen. All right, there's sanctification.
Right.
Not because you quit these things, you're born again. Nope, sorry. It's sanctification.
Right.
He is a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, and his habits are gone.
Right.
We believe that then he is a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Which comes as a filling of the believer. Then when the believer is just, as many times I've taught it, like picking up a glass. Right?
Right.
Picks up a glass. God picks up the glass. Right? Picks up a glass out of a chicken yard. Now you don't want to drink it right now, right?
Right.
No.
Right.
Justification is picking it up. God picks it up. He picks the glass up. It's still dirty.
Right.
But he has a purpose for that glass.
Right.
That glass can be filled with pure water.
Right.
All right, ready for use, to use it with a purpose in heart.
Right.
That's what God does to the sinner. He's still filthy. Then he is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, sanctified is a compound word, which means clean and set aside for service. The Old Testament, the altar sanctified the vessel, and it was set aside for service. So what did he do? He takes that glass and he cleans it out.
Right.
Yes. Right? But it's still not full of anything.
Right.
It's not being used for the purpose that it was meant to be. All right?
Amen.
We believe that the Holy Spirit is putting the same vessel,
amen,
in service.
Yes.
Right.
Fill it full of good, clean water. That the Holy Spirit is not another step of grace,
right,
but more of the same grace that fills the believer to the extent where that signs and wonders, such as apostolic gifts, spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12, manifest himself through this believer. When the Holy Spirit comes in to take up the gifts, I believe that the Scripture teaches that gifts and callings are without repentance.
Right.
That when we are born in this world, we are sent here by one purpose, that is of God. And that before we are even become adults, while we're yet children,
right,
the gift that we have of God is in us then. Because
right,
remember, gifts and callings are without repentance.
Right.
Remember, Elvis Presley had a gift.
Right.
He had a gift of God.
That's right.
Brother Brown said he could have had a purpose with God.
Yes.
But he sold his soul for a fleet of Cadillacs. He made a choice,
right,
and used that anointing to put people in hell.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry, just the way it is. I believe that Scripture teaches the gifts and callings are without repentance. We were sent here for one purpose, that's of God. That's before we're even become adults. When we're children, the gift that we have of God is in us then. And only the filling of the Holy Spirit puts those gifts into operation.
Amen.
But we have them in the beginning, such as teachers, apostles, prophets, gifts of tongues, nine spiritual gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, we believe that these gifts are in operation today, as they should be in every local church.
Amen.
Amen? All right? So three stages of grace. We're going to talk about them this afternoon. Justification, we're going to break it down. You say, well, that's simple. But you know what? If you're not born again, if you just think you're a believer, I want you to either know you're not, or you are, or you're not.
Right.
I wish to God, like Brother Dale said, let's stand. I wish to God we did realize we were lost.
Right.
Because some people, you look and they've never had an experience. They've never been to the altar. They've never cried. They've never moved.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not born again.
Right.
Maybe you're not born again. Maybe, you know, I pray for God to save my soul all the time.
Right.
You say, well, I think I was born again 50 years ago. Well, so do I, 15 years ago. But the desire in my heart, though, is that I know I'm not in the same place that I was, but I'm not in the place I should be.
Right.
All right? Like the old black sister said, you know, I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm sure definitely not what I used to be.
Right.
All right? So we're in a process of believing.
Amen.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
What are we singing? What is
it?
Good enough for me. We're living by faith. That's what we have to do. As a Christian, we must live by the faith. It's got to be the faith. We'll talk about it this afternoon. There's an anchor somewhere. You got to put that anchor down and say, I believe. If it's the Bible, you need to believe in what it all says.
Amen.
Not what part of it says, what every bit of it says. All right? Not just pieces of it that you like.
Right.
The devil likes pieces of it.
Amen. Yes, he does.
but he don't like all of it.
Right.
Go ahead. If you have a need.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the stopper, you ask me where they are. I say,
my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. Is from dawn in the sea of God forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Yes, sir. Tomorrow, God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession.
That's all you need. And we ask that you just sanctify our brother. Raise him up from this in Jesus' name. All you need. My sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. Before you leave, everybody come up and get one prayer cloth for your home and put it on your door. You don't have to put it on every door. Just put it on the door you go in and out of the most. And believe, yeah. They've been anointed with oil. We're going to believe. Put it over your door. We're going to do away with all this sick stuff. Yeah. Brother Terrence will give them out to you. But get one here if you want one. And you're dismissed, but go with God. We'll see you back at 2 o'clock. Underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary.